Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In a week where so much has happened, one man stands alone, poised to tackle it all and take your calls. Armed with just his wit and a stack of stats, he embarks on a quest that will require 4 hours of intense concentration, telephonic communication, and the mockery of jockery. This is the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Tom Brady taking on Patrick Mahomes this weekend. What do you make of Brady's season thus far in Tampa? Has it already been a success? Or what's the measure of success for him there? I mean, I think the way he's played, to be honest, is kind of a success. I didn't expect him to be this good for them this year. And yet, it seems many believe he should be better. And perhaps it is his lack of ability to be better than he already has been that could ultimately keep them down. I mean, that they do have a lot of receivers around him. They did bring in Antonio Brown seemingly for him. Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski, you know, so on and so forth. That's a talented group of pass catchers. And Brady's inability to throw the deep ball and his struggles when there's pressure in his face have seemed to hinder them against the best teams. But what did you expect when he was 43? I mean, I think we a little bit struggle with the nuance when it comes to Tom Brady. But he's going head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes this weekend, so once again, Brady will be center stage. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Let's go to Chris in Alabama. Chris, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing, Robin? Thanks for having me, man.
You got it.
Always a pleasure to be on your show. I guess I'll give my opinion on Brady. And this coming from a Tampa fan, I'm sorry, not a Saints fan. I think Brady's fine for what's going on. I mean, the case in point is, I think the only problem is, I guess, in the case of Tampa Bay and the Buccaneers, they're just victims of overhype. I mean, people just came in assuming that they were just, because that he signed with Tampa Bay, he was just going to automatically be a Super Bowl buy-in, I guess. But lo and behold, I guess reality came in. In the sense of, like, saying, so let's just address the whole layout of Tampa Bay and the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Let's see. In a COVID year, AFC's dominating quarterback 11 years straight, is coming into the NFC South with no preseason. Reviving Gronkowski, acquiring numerous acquisitions and is all because they're supposed to be the best out. That's not necessarily how football works. Football isn't like some reality TV show. You just can't slap people. You know, it takes experience and chemistry to at least get it together. I mean, you think that, it might, and if you think otherwise, you might be respecting the opponents.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, look, they've made splashy moves, but for the most part, it's worked. That's what's interesting about it to me. Like, they are 7-4. At the same time, you're correct. I think all of that brought extra attention to them, too. And thanks for the call, as always. It brought extra attention to them. And Brady was always going to make them a high-profile team, if not the highest-profile team in the league. But when you do all those other moves, too, these like sort of fantasy football moves, it just generates more attention and therefore generates more scrutiny. And I think that's what you see where, again, the idea of the idea of it not being the best case scenario and not being the worst case scenario is tough for people because people want to choose that. So far, it's been good in Tampa. Has it been great? I wouldn't go so far as to say it's been great, but it's been good. Is that a problem? You know, Antonio in Oakland. Antonio, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Morning, Robin. It's always good to wake up on a Saturday morning and hear your voice, know things are normal. I remember a few months ago during a pandemic, we weren't able to hear you, so I enjoy listening to your show every Saturday morning. We don't get this over here in the West Coast. Hey, I'm a lifelong Raider fan. I think fans either hate Brady or love Brady. I think there's a big fine line on that. Me, I'm a Brady fan. On the field this year, when he played us, I couldn't believe he ate us up, man. I just thought I was Facebook posting, oh, my God, he's the GOAT's back. The GOAT's never going nowhere. I think the jury's out. I think the bar set so high for Brady that, you know, we always expect him to come down and draw. Some people expect him. But you expect him to come drive down with 2 minutes left. There's no way he's going to lose. But, you know, when I look at the cast, I mean, people talk about Tampa Bay, all the talent and this. Maybe I haven't watched a lot of Tampa Bay in the last couple of years, but if I remember right, they're not the best team. And Bruce Arians, I can take him or leave him. I don't know if he's the next Don Shula or Bill Belichick, but I like what I see for Brady. I think the jury's out. I'm excited to see how he does tomorrow. Did he lose a couple miles on his fastball? Yeah. Is Antonio Brown going to be a problem? We'll wait and see. But I'm a fan and I'll be watching. And I had a quick question. Warriors over and under, they got him at 35. What's your take on that? But always enjoy the show, Robin. Thank you.
Warriors over under 35. I mean, it sounds about right. Forgetting it's a 72 game season, right? So, 35 would put them right around 500, which is probably where I would look at the Warriors this year. They're a 500-ish team. If things go right for them, they'll go above that. If things go wrong for them, they'll go below that. They're going to need Steph Curry to carry them in a way that he hasn't had to in a good long while. They tried to remain competitive. I like the move to bring in Kelly Oubre. Between Curry and if Draymond's healthy, Oubre, Wiggins, Wiseman, they have some players on that team. Defense, rebounding may be an issue. Depth may be a little bit of an issue. They can't afford any more injuries, that's for sure. But I see the Warriors as a team that, you know, could be contending for the bottom half of the playoff spots in the West, is the way I would look at it. Let's go next to, how about Billy in Toronto? Billy, you're up with Robin Lundberg here on CBS Sports Radio.
Robin, I called you last week, and the feedback after I called back, what I heard from you was, well, they're loaded with receivers. I'm going to say it again, Robin. There's not a guy that's going to call your station that is a bigger Tom Brady fan than I am. But mm-hmm. I'll tell you this. Tom Brady is the problem in Tampa Bay. Brady can't go deep no more. He has Peyton Manning disease. He's just getting old. It's as simple as this. Get Edelman out of New England. Get that slot back that he's made his career out of. And that way it opens up everything downfield. He doesn't have the arm strength to go deep anymore. And it's teams know this, and teams don't have to cover that back out of the backfield. Get him a back. Get him somebody, an outlet, and Tampa Bay's got a chance to go a long ways. If not, they'll play a good team, and they'll get crushed. That's it.
Well, you know, I especially with the part about the back that you referenced, I mean, I get it. He's missing that slot receiver that he had for so long over the years in New England. And part of what made Brady so good in New England is he would keep things on schedule, right? It was like the train would hit its stations when need be. And he's missing some of those intermediate receivers. And especially, I think it's glaring out of the backfield, the check down, because Leonard Fournette isn't good at that. In fact, he had some drops, just blatant drops the other night. So when he doesn't have the slot receiver, But B, I think even more importantly, that check down, it makes things tougher. Makes things tougher because that is a weapon taken away. And then you start leaning more and more on throwing the ball down the field, and that's just not his strength anymore. I mean, that's part of Bruce Arians' scheme, though. Like this is the structure he signed up for when Brady went to Tampa. He must have known that was the way they were going to play, right? I mean, that's the way they played. That's the way that offense is run, which was always a little curious because you did wonder if they emphasized some of the things that Brady was not strongest at. And that has been the case thus far. At the same time, again, to say he's the problem, I think is going too far. I mean, there's a difference between being limited and being problematic, right? Brady is limited at this point in his career. But the Buccaneers were 7-9 last year. They're 7-4 right now. They already have as many wins as they had last year under Jameis Winston, who can throw the ball down the field, but isn't as good overall as Tom Brady. So, like, that's where I have, you know, trouble saying that the problem is Tom Brady. But, yes, I do think his limitations show themselves more in those games against the superior teams, which is just a function of, all right, Brady has elevated them from where they were, but maybe not elevated them enough. You know, instead of having already fallen off the cliff, they're holding onto the side of it, trying to pull themselves up over the top, but his ability to throw deep balls, or lack thereof, is the guy stepping on the fingers and maybe having them looking down at what the fall could be like. But to the caller's point, I do think the lack of checkdown, to Billy's point, the lack of checkdown options is something that has hurt Tom Brady thus far this season, because he did go to that a lot in Tampa, and he did go to the slot. Obviously, he went to Edelman, but, you know, James White or whomever that was at various points during his tenure there. What do you make of Tom Brady's time in Tampa Bay? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. He's got the showdown with Patrick Mahomes on Sunday. I don't know if it's a big game or not. It's not really a big game in the sense of the outcome shaping things. But it just, you know, there ain't going to be that many times that Brady and Mahomes play each other, right? It's a limited thing. It's a fleeting thing. Where, given where Brady's at in his career, I mean, how many times are we going to see Tom Brady against Patrick Mahomes? Maybe a handful. So there is something that feels a little special about that, about the fact that they are going to go head-to-head, because you're looking at the guy considered the greatest of all time, and then the guy who's the first, you know, threat to that, I think, in a long, long while, and is already, I would say Patrick Mahomes is already better than Brady at his best. Is that, you know, prisoner of the moment, or do you agree with that? Is Patrick Mahomes already better than Brady was at his best? 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. I'm going to also get to, I want to get to the fight that's happening tonight. That's a strange situation. Roy Jones Jr. fighting Mike Tyson tonight. When you speak of people who are old in their field, those guys haven't fought in a long time and probably too old to be fighting at this very moment, but that is happening tonight. And then there's, it is the holiday time. There are some sports holiday traditions, two in particular that stand out. Obviously, one is the NFL on Thanksgiving. The other is coming up in just a couple of weeks, the NBA on Christmas Day. Which is the better sports holiday tradition? Is it the NFL on Thanksgiving, or is it the NBA on Christmas Day? You know, I think there's a case to be made for each. So before I get your thoughts on it, I'll lay out what I think is the clear case for A, the NFL on Thanksgiving Day, and for B, the NBA on Christmas, because I think there's an advantage that each of those sports has when it comes to those traditional holiday showcases, if you will. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
And there he was, this young boy, stranger to
It's the Robin Lundberg Show. Call Robin at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
Like Paul in Maryland has done. Paul, you're on the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin. How you doing?
What's up, Paul?
Yeah, good to appreciate your reasoning and insight. I don't know. It seems to me like Bruce Arians is more of a problem than Tom Brady. He's a good coach and all, but in games of any consequence, he just doesn't get it done. I mean, he had the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC Championship game probably 6 years ago, and they got wiped out. I mean, that was the most ill-prepared football team I ever saw for a game, and this was a championship game. So
you put your, well, I mean, I it is odd, right? Like, what's odd to me is the friction. Because you would have thought Brady knew what he was signing up for playing in Bruce Arians' offense, and Arians would have known what he was getting in Tom Brady. And it seems like, and that, you know, Brady hasn't said anything publicly, but Arians has said stuff publicly, which indicates that they didn't realize that. You know, like, that's the weirdest thing of it to me. Like, you know, Brady's not great at the deep ball, yet that's what you're emphasizing, and then you're going to criticize him for it. Very publicly. It just seems...
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, I watched that game last week, Rob, and I mean, they were going down the field. They had plenty of time to throw short balls. Why did he even have to throw a long ball?
I mean,
the success rate isn't very good recently.
Yeah, that's the way Arians' offense is designed. I think you know, ideally a great coach adapts, so I'm with you. I don't think... You know, it's not fair to put it all on Brady, and thanks for the call, Paul. But, like, at the same time, for Arians to put Brady on blast to the degree that he has is almost jarring, right? Like, he's done it numerous times thus far this season. It's not even just once. He's done it numerous times. So that's a little bit jarring for sure, like the fact that Arians has publicly criticized him to the degree that he has. And you know, maybe Bill Belichick didn't go out of his way to overly praise Tom Brady. Sometimes you would wonder, like, hey, how come he isn't more glowing in his praise when he would be asked? But he never slandered him the way Arians has done thus far. I remember early in the year, Arians talked about how the one throw was just a bad decision. And then numerous times he's now said, hey, he's not missing those throws in practice. Maybe we need to bring that to the game. Like, word? How about Steve in Maine? Steve, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Robin? Yeah, I think it's probably a lot on Arians, but I think it's a little bit of both. You know, Arians didn't throw the deep ball in the last game. When Tom tried to go deep, he didn't need to. And, you know, I think the game plan that Arians has been designing doesn't fit Brady's skill set. When he was in the Patriots, the only time he went deep was when he had Randy Moss. Mm-hmm. And he could just throw 50-50 balls up to Randy. And, you know, so I think he's never been strong throwing deep. And I think Arians needs to, I think he does need a check down. He needs like a check down back, or he needs to have AB run some different routes or something like that to give him that check down option. He's always used that.
Yeah, that is hurting him for sure. I that was noticeable in the last game, like I said, with Fournette, who can't catch. You know, so that's part of the part of the problem. But, is it interesting to you to see Arians criticize him so publicly?
Yeah, I mean, Arians, he always does that. He's always done that. That's just the way he coaches. It's just a different style than Belichick. Belichick doesn't say anything about anybody, you know, ever. And, Arians just has a different style. I don't think there's as much friction as the news media is trying to make it out to be. I think Brady's pretty, he's always been pretty prepared when he goes into different situations. So I'm guessing Tom probably looked at Arians' history. How is he as a coach? What's his style? How's it different than what I'm used to? And I think he probably had every expectation that if I throw two picks in a game, one pick to kill a drive and to lose a game, I'm probably going to get criticized. So, Brady's, like I said, he's always been pretty prepared. You know, I'm sure he knew what he was getting into when he went to Tampa Bay. And, it's always been Arians' style. He's criticized, a lot of QBs. I think the bigger problems for Arians is he's not, what Belichick always did, so great was that he utilized the skill sets of his players. He would bring in veterans that were maybe not, towards the end of their career when they were not being utilized in the best way, he would bring them in and suddenly they would have a resurgence. Mm-hmm. And he always knew how to use his players to the best of their ability. And this, the same goes for Tom. Tom's ability as a great QB is between the ears. It's never been his arm. It's never been his legs. It's never been his athleticism. And so Arians needs to utilize what makes Tom Brady a great quarterback. Throwing 40-yard bombs has never been what made Tom Brady a great quarterback. Managing the game, being calm under pressure, throwing those accurate 7-yard slants, giving Edelman or whoever time to run, White, just putting it right where it needs to be. Managing the game, reading the defense. That's what makes Tom Brady a great quarterback. And Bruce Arians thinks he's bringing in Mahomes. I'm going to go deep. I've got all these weapons. I've got the greatest quarterback of all time. Let's go. And he's wrong. That's not what Tom Brady is.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I knew about Arians' track record with some of those guys that you mentioned before, Palmer and whatnot, but I guess I just haven't followed Bruce Arians that closely from a week-to-week like press conference kind of standpoint, right? Like where I just not used to that sort of – I mean, I heard him talk about Jameis Winston last year, but Jameis Winston was sort of the butt of a lot of jokes last year, so it just mixed into that. Hearing it about Tom Brady is kind of jarring. Let's go to Sean in New Hampshire. Sean, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing? I think it's hard to say that Patrick Mahomes is as good as Brady was in his prime just right now.
I mean, think he's
when
better.
Brady was in his prime, he was throwing to Patton and David Givens. Mahomes has good to great receivers, a great tight end, and was close to a meltdown in San Francisco to lose that Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, we say close to a meltdown to lose the Super Bowl. He didn't lose the Super Bowl. He won the Super Bowl. Secondly, did you know that Patrick Mahomes, his worst loss as a starter is by 8 points?
I didn't know that.
That's the worst he's been beaten. By one score, technically. You get a two-point conversion. He's never been beaten by more than a one-score game, a single possession game in his entire tenure as a starter. Now, you're fair to point out, he came into fortuitous circumstance between Andy Reid and the talent on the Chiefs. But if you also want to play the numbers game, I mean, you look at some of those teams that Brady was playing with early in his career, but pre-Moss, he wouldn't put up the numbers that Patrick Mahomes is putting up. Here's Patrick Mahomes' season thus far. He's completing 68% of his passes. He's thrown for 3,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, 2 picks. For his career, 103 touchdowns to 20 picks. 12,000 yards already, 66% completion percentage. Through 41 career starts, he has set the mark all time for passing yards, passing touchdowns, and there's one other that I'm missing, but basically everything. And then there's the eye test. as well with Mahomes. And I don't say this to be disrespectful, and I don't even think it's really like hot takey anymore either. I don't even think it's like the kind of thing that gets a reaction anymore, because it's almost sort of becoming consensus. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback I've ever seen play right now. Patrick Mahomes, this guy playing right now, best I've ever seen play. Is that even controversial anymore? I don't think it is. I don't think that's even like, probably not even going to get people mad at me. Just like, yeah, Or if they disagree, yeah, well, I see what you're saying, but you have to do it over a longer period of time. I'm not talking about accomplishments. I'm talking about current. I'm talking about peak. Well, we don't know what his peak is. Maybe he hasn't hit his peak yet, which is scary. But at this level, like at his current performance level, I don't think I've ever seen anybody, I haven't seen anybody better than Patrick Mahomes.
Robin Lundberg, CBS Sports Radio, and you. Let the fun begin. Here's Robin Lundberg.
Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. 1, 2, 3 into the foe. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre's at your door. It was just the anniversary of Doggy Style, Snoop Dogg's debut album. When that was in 1993. Remember, Snoop Dogg went from Murder Was the Case to Martha Stewart baking shows. It's been quite a career for Snoop Dogg over those years. All right, we were talking about Tom Brady before, and I'm going to talk about some guys who are older right now, and Roy Jones and Mike Tyson in just a minute. But I did want to compare a couple of sports holiday traditions, and one is the NFL on Thanksgiving. The other is the NBA on Christmas. So which is actually better? And I don't think it's so cut and dry. First of all, your reaction is going to go to the sport you prefer, right? Like, if you prefer basketball, you're going to say the NBA. If you prefer football, you're going to say the NFL. If you want to make the case for the NFL because it's just the most popular thing in this country, that's one I really can't argue with. Like, the NBA is popular across the globe. It's popular with young people, social media, all that stuff. But it does not touch the NFL when it comes to, you know, traditional viewing habits. Not even close. Nothing does. So if you want to make that case, you can make that case. Fine. For me, here's the case for the NFL on Thanksgiving. More so than football is popular, right? There's something about this time of year that almost just feels like football. It's synonymous with football. Like the you know, some leaves on the ground, that crispness in the air where it's not too cold yet, but it's coming. It's coming there, but it's not warm either. You're not, you know, you might put the hoodie on and the gloves on to start, throw the ball around a little bit, then, you know, take some of that off as you get warmed up, that kind of thing. But there's just like, it just feels like football. The air tastes like football. There's just something about it. You know, and what do people do on Thanksgiving Day when they get together with their friends when that was a thing? You go play football, right? Like, that's what you do. So football is much more synonymous with Thanksgiving than basketball is with Christmas. There's nothing about Christmas that's basketball, right? Like, Santa Claus is not riding a bunch of basketballs. His sleigh is not guided by a bunch of basketballs. But, you know, the winter does not, basketball does not feel like winter, even though, I mean, it is played during the winter inside, but the act of it playing, I mean, I've realized a lifelong dream. I've never had a basketball hoop. We have a new house here. I've got one in the driveway, and I, even when it's a little cold out, I try not to take these things for granted because I never had it, so I basically use it every day, right? But winter is not basketball time. Like, for when you're playing it, what you're closing your eyes and imagining is, it's just not basketball. So I think the case for football, for the NFL on Thanksgiving, is the NFL football is more synonymous with this time of year. I mean, if you're actually like, if you were, I love to use the Family Feud thing because it's just fun for me. you know, like I said it before, Brady, greatest quarterback of all time, number one answer on the boards, Tom Brady. Think of things that, you know, go with Thanksgiving. And if you could only pick food as one item and you're not like saying mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes and turkey and so on and so forth. Food, ding, 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 number one, right? Family, ding, 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 number two. Is football third? It might be. Food, family, football. That's not the case with, think of things that go with Christmas. Basketball's not there. So that's the case for football on Thanksgiving, being the better sports holiday tradition. Here's the case for the NBA, for basketball on Christmas being the better sports holiday tradition. The games are better. Football, you've got the Lions and the Cowboys every year. The Lions are miserable. That's like if the NBA had the Knicks or the Bobcats / Hornets on Thanksgiving every year, or on Christmas every year. You know, you just saw it in real time, right? You know, like the Thanksgiving Day games, once that Steelers-Ravens game was moved, there was a palpable disappointment. Why? Because then everybody realized, oh man, all we've got is Cowboys-Washington football team and, you know, the what was the other game? The Lions and the Texans. Bleh. You know, been a minute since Barry Sanders played. Been a minute since Calvin Johnson even played. Why are we watching the Lions? Meanwhile, the NBA can pick and choose, can tailor those matchups. So all Christmas Day, I mean, you might start whatever the noon game might be, like the you know, Raptors and the Celtics. All right, that's pretty good. Good Eastern Conference game. I can watch a few minutes of it. I don't have to watch the whole thing, but I'll put it on for a second. Oh, and then after that, it's going to be the Nets and the Lakers. All right, now we're talking. Or the Warriors and the Lakers, and then the Nets and the Sixers, whatever the case may be. But the marquee teams can be featured. They can tailor make their schedule that way, so you get the best possible matchups on Christmas Day. And to me, that's the case for the NBA on Christmas. What do you think is the better sports holiday tradition? Is it the NFL on Thanksgiving, or is it the NBA on Christmas? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Charles in Alabama. Charles, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Robin? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
I think sports tradition is the key word, and football is that. So, I mean, for me, the holiday sports is definitely football and Thanksgiving. Because, I mean, you have a turkey bowl, man. Everybody plays a turkey bowl, right?
You still played it? Did you play a turkey bowl this year?
I did not. I'm a little bit out of shape to play now. But, you know, in my younger days.
Yeah,
I did. You know,
no, that's what I mean. I do think it is. That was my case for the football is more synonymous with Thanksgiving. But what's a better viewing product? The games that the NFL puts on, or the games that the NBA puts on? That's the counter.
Yeah, I think the NBA does have better games being played. You know, better stuff to look at. But I think the better tradition is still football. But I did want to make a comment about the Buccaneers, man. And this is just my opinion. You know, I think, you know, media and fans kind of got it misconstrued, thinking that because Tampa Bay, you know, had a lot of weapons, that just plugging Tom Brady in was going to be the answer, and they were automatic Super Bowl champs. You know, they didn't take into account that, you know, there's going to be a learning curve there, him learning a different offense than he's learned for the last 20 years. And he didn't have the same coach running the plays, you know. So I think for him to go out and get Antonio Bryant was a sign, you know, for him to want Gronk was a sign that, you know, he wants to do stuff the old way. And they're trying to force that square peg in that round hole, you so to speak, at Tampa Bay. And, you know, until he gets that comfortable short game going with running back out of the backfield, you know, maybe one of the tight Gronk steps up and, you know, becomes that guy he was in New England with him, you know, or maybe OJ or Brake steps up and becomes that outlet. And maybe AB steps up and becomes that Edelman type player for him. But you know, until he gets that comfortable with those guys, that deep ball is never going to make it, man.
Well, it definitely hasn't been making it. And thank you for the call. I mean, when you look at I'll read you the numbers again. It's pretty staggering. Let me find the information. But here is the Tom Brady deep ball numbers. All right, according to Next Gen Stats. He's 0 of 19 on deep passes, which is 20-plus air yards in the last four games with a 0.0 passer rating. His final three attempts in Week 7 were also incomplete, meaning he's missed on his last 22 deep attempts. Going back to Week 5, he's 3 of 36 on deep passes. It's not been going well for Tom Brady when he's been throwing the ball down the field. Let's go to Larry in Ohio. Larry, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Robin. I think that there are three problems with Brady and the Bucs, and none of them have to do with Brady or Brady's fault. Here's what they are. I think you guys everybody's looking at it too superficially when you start talking about the long ball, because nobody's lived off the long ball the way people are talking. But anyway, the three points are they have very few first downs. This team doesn't move down the field consistently and doesn't matriculate down the field like it should. And the reason is because of the play calling. They always run on first down, Robin. And then you always have second and 10 or second and 9. They punt a lot more than they ever used to do with the Patriots. So it's the play calling is number one. Number two, poor running back. They don't have a running scheme. There was one game, it was a Packer game, where they were running really well, and Brady just tore it apart. Every pass was perfect, his accuracy, and it was a great game, but they had a running game. Now, the third thing is the O-line. The O-line is weak, especially when you have these big teams with a big defensive, strong defensive line. Brady is shell-shocked. He's running for his life, and all these three things hurt Brady's efficiency and hurt his excellence. And we all agree that his strength is between his ears. It hurts that as well. So they can't fix the O-line, and they're going to have to get another scheme, but they can fix the play calling. And I don't know what they're going to do about the running back, but like we're saying, they got to throw more outlets, more quick slants, more short balls. That's the answer. What do you think?
Oh, I mean, like, yeah, I agree to a certain extent, but it feels like a tug of war between two ideals, and I just don't understand what they thought when this started. And then again, I think we're also losing the baby with the bathwater a little bit, where they still are 7-4. They're still in the mix, but it's an interesting situation, an interesting dynamic, because you have to imagine when Tom Brady was a free agent, right? He wasn't traded there. He was a free agent. He had his pick of where he was going to go. He had to know the style that they wanted to play or that Arians wanted to play, and vice versa. Arians had to know what Tom Brady does well. I mean, there's only a billion hours of game footage to look at.
Well, there were a couple things that probably played in there. I think he and Arians really do like each other. They fool around the sideline. Arians will brush his head and stuff like that. You know, stuff that Belichick, of course, never did, and that's okay. But the other thing is, I think Brady was so angry last year at the pass. So remember those last couple games where you'd see him on the bench or on the sidelines pissed off because he's got nobody to throw to. And they refused to give him the GOAT, any decent receivers except for Edelman. And that's what I think Tom said, okay, this guy's a friend of mine. He's got some great receivers. You know, maybe that's good enough. You know, work out the details later type of thing. But they got to work out the details. They can definitely change their game plan and help him a lot. They're going to have to do it. I think they got a good chance of doing it. I think they'll figure this out. I think all these losses have helped them. They usually come back from a loss with a resounding win. Not that I expect that to happen tomorrow, but it's going to be very interesting with this Brady thing the rest of the year. O-line has really got to change. Yeah.
Well, it also feels like it might be trending the wrong way, which has to be a little bit of a concern, and I guess makes sense as it gets a little colder, and then the schedule gets a little tougher as well. And thanks for the call. I mean, look, these things are not being exposed by the Carolina Panthers, who the Buccaneers have beaten twice, right? Those are not the games that are doing it. It's been the New Orleans Saints, or it's been maybe the Kansas City Chiefs coming up, but it's those games, the Rams just recently. Jeff in Virginia. Jeff, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good Hey, good morning. You're talking about the tradition of Thanksgiving and Christmas, and quite honestly, until the NFL changes that archaic tradition of the Lions, and quite honestly, even the Cowboys are not far behind in being bad, I'm going with the NBA, and you summed up the scheduling and how much more exciting the NBA games are. I think back to my family the other day, and when that Ravens game was rescheduled with Pittsburgh, we didn't even turn the TV on for bad football. So I'm going to go with the Christmas with damn good games, exciting games. You know, this isn't 1975 where you can stick on crap football and people are going to watch. So I'm going with the more exciting product of the NBA.
There you go. We have one vote for the NFL on Thanksgiving. We have one vote for the NBA on Christmas Day. What do you think is the better sports holiday tradition, NBA on Christmas or NFL on Thanksgiving? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. There's a big sporting event tonight as well, sort of. And I want to get to that, but there definitely seems to be some sort of mixture of excitement and or curiosity about something that is taking place on this Saturday night of Thanksgiving weekend. 855-212-4227 if you want to call. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter, you can get at me there as well. That's RobinLundberg. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's live with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.